Now notice what he said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 3. He said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture." Aren't you glad that God Almighty, everything He was going to do, He spoke out before He done it? Yes. You know, a lot of times I've heard people say, "Well, I was going to do that." Well, God said it and He done it. And so I want you to imagine how God, the Bible says in Isaiah 46, 8, 9, and 10, how God declares the end of time for the beginning. How did He do it? God spoke it out. He saw it. And then He walked it out. Amen. He done exactly what He said. So you have an assurance this morning that these thousands of promises that's in this Bible, if you and I will meet the conditions, they're for us. You're not a defeated foe. You're not a weak individual. You're not a person that is in a place of trouble overwhelming you and overcoming you, because you are more than a conqueror. You do triumph and all of those things. But you've got to hear that. You've got to see what Jesus done for you. Then you've got to walk it out. Amen. So this morning, I want you to see that Christ died for you. I know, you say, "Well, I know that. That's how I got saved." But if we keep it fresh, keep that playing over and over, because when the devil shows something contrary in your life, show him the picture of Jesus dying for you. That's how much you're loved. Isn't that something? As much as your spouse, or as much as your children, or as much as your parents, or whoever it might be, your best friend, as much as they love you, they can't love you as much as Jesus did. Amen? So you have that assurance. So the Scripture said that Christ was going to die for you. Brother Ryan, put Genesis 3:15. I want you to see the mind of God. I know that you know these verses of Scripture, but we've got to go over and over and over, because it's not what you've heard, it's what you're hearing. Now, just as soon as Adam and Eve had sinned and fell to the lie of the devil, here's the first messianic promise out of the mouth of God. This is God talking, and notice what He said. He said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." So this is a prophetic utterance of Jesus Christ about the devil coming with all the force he had to try to kill Christ and destroy the plan of God. But he didn't realize and understand that when he took the flesh body of Christ, because of the sinless of his spiritual, his soul, and his body, that it would be our redemption. The devil didn't the Bible said that they would not, if they understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's your God. Your God is smarter than the devil. Come on. The devil doesn't have anything but what God gave him. And he perverted it. He twisted it. The devil's hierarchy of his origin, his stature of how everything he works in his kingdom, he just took it from God and perverted it. So that brings you hope, confidence, amen, you comfort this morning, because you know that according to Scripture. Brother Ryan, put Psalm 16:10. Now, there's so many people who want to get into a theological debate, and they want to argue and fuss, and let's just let the Bible talk. Read this verse with me. "For thou wilt not leave," this is a prophetic utterance about Christ, "for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." Now, to be, not leave your soul in hell, you had to go to? Oh, Jesus didn't go to hell. Yes, He did. He went to hell for me. He took my place. See, if He hadn't went for me, I would have to go. He went to hell for me this morning. I have to see that. I have to see it. I don't just hear it, but I see it. I see Jesus in that place that was destined for me because of my sin. And then I realize that I can come up out of that place in that position because of what Jesus done for me. Amen? This is not a story. This is not just something that's written on a white page with black letters. Amen? This is a fact. Jesus went to hell for me. And so the prophetic utterance here is that He didn't have to stay there. He went down there and He got the keys of hell, death, and the grave. He got the power of the devil and destroyed that. "Neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." His body lay in that tomb, but it did not decompose. Now He is now a what? A flesh and bone body at this point of resurrection. right? Not flesh and blood. The blood is in the mercy seat on the altar of God that takes away your sin and my sin. But he's a flesh and bone body that has been transfigured for this point of time of this 40 days that he's going to be walking on the earth to be able to get people ready, to get his disciples ready to go forth, to bring forth this great, glorious gospel message. Amen. So I got to see that what Paul received, that's what he was giving out. And that's what you and I have received, and that's what we have to give out. That Christ died, that we believe that God said that he was going to do that, and he did it. And Jesus went to hell for us, so there's no use in you going through hell today. Now, this is important. Some of you are going through hell in your mind. You're going through hell in relationships. You're going through hell in situations. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't let the devil put you through that. Allow this verse to see that Christ suffered and went through those things to get you and I in a place of living from heaven in this earth age. Amen. Verse number 4 in 1 Corinthians 15. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to Scriptures. So Jesus was buried for us, and he rose again. So we won't take time to turn there, because I feel like we an urgency to go a different direction. But you mark down in your mind's eye Jonah 1:17 and Matthew 12:39 and 40. And you see where it talks about Jonah being in the belly of the whale. He was in the, and Jesus said that it was like that sacrifice was like him going to the heart of the earth. He said that's the only sign that you're going to receive is what Jonah went through, how he died for Nineveh, somebody who didn't deserve it. Come on, they didn't deserve it. They were outside the covenant, but God gave them grace. Come on, you and I, we were outside of the covenant. We didn't have any reason for God to reach down to us, but he did. And so that's the sign. And Jesus said that sign is your assurance, your confidence that you and I can have everything that he would promise us and bring into our life. I want the fulfillment of God's word, don't you? Go with me to John chapter 1, and let's look at the timelessness of your Savior. Let's look at that Jesus Christ is outside of time. He's always been. He's a part of the Godhead. We got God the Father. We got God the Son. We got God the Holy Ghost. But look at John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now this word with is a Greek word pros. It means face to face. So in other words, Jesus and God and the Holy Ghost, they always see eye to eye. They're looking face to face. See, if somebody don't agree with you, you look pretty quick, they'll look away. you can tell pretty well. But the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God the Father, they're in perfect agreement. And Jesus has always been. Thank God for the New Testament. But see, people don't understand the God of the Old Covenant and the God of the New Covenant. And you and I, we got to help them see how Jesus fulfilled all of those things that now we can live in grace. It's not about works. It's about what Jesus worked for us. Amen. So on this resurrection day, we need to live that out. All right. Now notice what he said in verse number 3. And all things were made by him, made by Jesus. And without him, without Jesus, was not anything made that was made. In him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. So Jesus is timeless. He is preeminent. He is the first and the last. Come on, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, in other words, you're placing your trust in the one that from the foundation of the world, the Bible says, was slain for your sin and my sin. God knew I was going to mess up, but he had an answer. And he loved me despite all of that. So our message is not trying to bring condemnation under somebody, but it's trying to get them to the fact that God knew that they was going to need an answer and that God loved them that much. I don't know about you. If I'm not real careful, I avoid certain people because I don't want to get hurt. Thank God, God didn't avoid me. All right, go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Let's just nail this home. We're just looking at three things. We're looking at the timelessness of God. We're looking at the tomb of God and the throne of God. In Colossians chapter 1, this is one of the most powerful. The book of Colossians would be your book to study right now. This is the time that it is more prevalent in your life than any other time in the history. And we'll probably study this on Wednesday nights coming pretty really soon. There is so much meat in this epistle, but I want you to look at starting in at verse 15. And now let's just start at verse 14. Verse 14, in whom, and verse 13 tells you who we're talking about. We're talking about God's dear Son. God's dear Son has gave us redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So on this resurrection day, on this day of victory, if you're in Jesus, and if I'm in Jesus, then you and I, we have redemption. Now this word redemption is from a Greek word that means the ransom has been paid in full. Now think about it. Now, we've all watched cop shows and detective shows and all that stuff, and you've seen where somebody was kidnapped and they had to gather up the ransom to go and get them delivered, to get them set free, and all of those things. So I want you to imagine yourself before Christ. You were kidnapped. You were held captive by the devil. You could only go where he said you could go. You could only do what he said you could do. But today, say, I'm free. Come on, you're free. You can do anything in Jesus that you want to do. You can go anywhere in Jesus that His Spirit leads you to go. Amen? On this day of victory, you don't have to be bowed down. You don't have to be hindered in any way because you have been redeemed. Everything has been paid for. Glory! It's paid for. But you've got to not just hear these words. You've got to see them. You've got to see what Jesus done. You've got to see Him standing in front of the devil. And see Him, the blood being presented. And then you being loosed from the old man. Because if you can do that, then you're going to walk out of here. And you're going to live a life that will walk in that truth. Amen? That will be a witness and a testimony. Notice what He said. He said, even the forgiveness of sin. This word means, from the Greek, it means freedom. I'm free from sin. Now, I need to inform my flesh of that and make my flesh submit to the Word of God. I need to inform my mind of that and make it be renewed to this truth. Because, see, I was convinced that I just had to stay in the place of grace. No, grace causes me to be overpowering of that sin that used to overpower me. Come on, I have free. Now what we're talking about? We're talking about I want you to be able to enjoy every part of your life. The Lord wants you to enjoy every part of your life. I want for a change to enjoy every part of my life. So the part that I'm not enjoying, that the devil works in, that he holds and hinders on this resurrection day, I need to tell him, listen, because of Christ, I'm free. Isn't that amazing? Come on, all the things that would hold us back and would lie to us and limit us. I guess I'm the only one that's got problems. But I got problems in the flesh, but I've got victory in the Spirit. Amen? Amen. And guess what? My flesh is coming under subjection. And my soul is being renewed to this truth. And I'm going to do some things that I've never done before because I'm not going to let the devil convince me I'm still that old person. Because I'm not that old person. I'm a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And I can do all that Jesus Christ says I can do. Amen? Oh, glory. We're going to preach the gospel to the lost. We're going to preach the gospel in places that never dreamed possible. Because God's going to do it and He's going to be glorified in it. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Come on, you're the church that is going to make the dent in hell in these last days. That's going to cause that harvest to be loosed, I promise you, because of the Word of God says so. Now notice, Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. That means because Jesus, that He was timeless, and He went to the tomb, and He went back to the throne, He's that image of God. In other words, if you see Jesus, you've seen the Father, right? We know that. Okay, but now I want you to imagine. If you've got an image, like I've got an image of my Windows operating system. And anytime I have any trouble, I can go back and I can reinstall that image. And it's just the way it was the day that I got it. I mess up over here some way. I call on the name of the Lord. The blood of Jesus comes over my life. And it's just as the day that I was born again. See, the devil can't do anything with that. Because then when he starts talking about it, only thing that witnesses for me is not my words. The blood speaks for me. The blood speaks for you. Don't waste your time arguing with the devil. Let the blood of Jesus talk for you. Okay. Brother Ryan, Romans 8:29. Romans 8:20, let's make sure that you understand this same image that Jesus was is what you and I become. Look at this. Talking about what God done through Jesus, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. You and I, we have a destiny. If we'll call upon the name of the Lord, we have to do the calling. But it's God's will, it's God's desire, it's God's best for us to be just like Jesus. But I've got free will. You've got free will. I've got to call upon the name of the Lord. And when I call upon the name of the Lord, look what he said. He said, I could be conformed. I could be the same image of Jesus. Whew. Who said it? Not some man. The Holy Ghost inspired Paul to write this for you and I this morning. Conformed to be the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We're the brothers and the sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't that give you chills? I got family that don't even claim me, but Jesus does. Isn't that something? Okay, back to Colossians 1, Brother Ryan. Verse number 16, Colossians 1:16. For by him, by Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created by him, by Jesus, and for him. The devil just took his hierarchy and he perverted it. But Jesus created it. So if Jesus created it, he knows everything about it. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be concerned. You have Jesus in your life. You have the Holy Ghost in your life. Another comforter, a paraclete, just like Jesus that lives in you. Amen? So let him show you what the devil is doing in his hierarchy. And just rest in the Lord on this resurrection day. Know that you've got victory. You've got peace. You serve a timeless God. Verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him, by Jesus, all things consist. All things from the Greek are being held together. When the devil tells you that you're falling apart, say, Jesus is holding me together. See, Jesus will never fall apart. He can't fall apart. And so he's holding you together. So there's sometimes in my life, the pressure in my mind is so great. Because of the negative talk of the enemy, by the lies, the work, all of those things, that I literally feel like I'm going to explode. And I've got to stand on this verse. I've got to tell the devil, say, nuh-uh, you can't cause me to explode. You can't blow me up. You can't tear down what God has put together, because Jesus Christ is holding me together. Amen? We're talking about hearing. We're talking about seeing, doing on this resurrection day. We're talking about putting the word of God to practice. Verse 18. And he, Jesus, is the head of the body. Oh, what a rest. See, you don't have to know everything Jesus does. He is the head of the body. Who's the body? The church. The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Come on, he's timeless. But let him have the first and final say in your life, in my life today. Amen. We have to. Okay, so let's go back to the Gospel of John. We was in John 1 earlier. But let's look in, and let's see some things that will help us. Jesus is timeless, but he's also, he's the one that went to the tomb for us. I've got to see that because, see, I've got to see that this is not just a story. I've got to see that Jesus just didn't talk about love. God just didn't talk about love, but he demonstrated. Come on, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 that God demonstrated his love toward me. Romans 5, what is it, 5, 8 or something? That while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. I need to see this demonstration. Let's go to Matthew instead. Matthew chapter 27. We'll go to John in a minute. Let's go this order. Matthew 27, verse number 50. Here's Jesus. He's on the cross. And look what it says. Matthew 27, 50. Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. In other words, his spirit separated from his body. That's how you know if somebody's dead or not. When the spirit leaves the body, you're dead. So he yielded up the ghost, and he done that for you and I. Now drop down to verse 54. Let's understand that we know for sure that Jesus died for us, because there's a lot of people who try to teach that, try to take away the gospel message because they say, oh, Jesus just passed out. No. You and I, we know he's alive because he's in our heart, right? But look at verse 54. This just helps give you something to stand on to give to somebody else. Verse 54. Now, when the centurion, captain of 100 men, when he was there, and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things which were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this is the Son of God. Now, do you think this centurion had saw people die on the cross before? Hundreds. I mean, they had crucified so many people, there weren't no trees left. They didn't have anything to crucify. I mean, this is what they did. And this cruelty's coming back. This is a spirit of cruelty. And you and I, we better be watching and looking. Amen. But anyway, it's coming back. But here, they had seen so many crucified. I think the centurion knew when he was dead, don't you? Verse 55. And many women which were beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. Among them was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and Hosea's, and mother of Zebedee's children. Verse 57. And when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, somebody from Ramah, remember where Samuel was from, named Joseph. Also himself was Jesus' disciple. More than that, if you look at the traditions of the writings in this time period, you can look at Josephus and different writings. He would have been Jesus' uncle, because you had to be a kinsman redeemer to be able to claim the body. So he had to be the next in line, the closest to him to be able to do this. So he goes and claims this body. Verse 58. And he went to Pilate and he begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. Now Pilate's job was to crucify the offenders and to make sure they was dead, or he would get in trouble. Don't you think he knew if Jesus was dead or not? So there is no doubt that Jesus gave up the ghost. Verse 59. And Joseph had taken the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and he laid it in his own new tomb. Now mark that down. Which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher, and he departed. So we know that Jesus Christ is timeless. We know that he died for us. He died sinless, the scripture says. And he was placed in a tomb. And so we've got the highest of the world authority, the Roman government, Pilate, the soldiers that were in and of that time frame. They all saw Jesus. He's dead. The women afar off, that had been following Jesus, that knew him intimately, they knew he was dead. And so we've got to be so excited today, because you and I can feel Jesus in our spirit, that he has defeated that death. Come on, he's defeated hell, death, and the grave. We say that like, oh, wow. No, we need to be so excited that we can't contain ourselves. Because you see, I was going to live my life X number of years, and I was going to die, and that was going to be it. But because Jesus made a sacrifice for me, and he died sinless, and now he's alive in my heart, I can live forever. I have that assurance. And not only can I live forever, but I can truly have abundant life now. If I will hear, if I will see it, and if I will do it. Amen? That's what I want, don't you? All right. Brother Ryan, put Matthew 16:21. Now, Jesus, if you look, you can find about four different times, and we won't take time to look at them. We'll just look at this one where he tells ahead of time what's going to happen to his disciples. From that time forth, Jesus began to show. He began to take the cover off and cause them not only to hear, but them to see. Begin to show, not tell, but be able to hear it and to see it, to understand it. To show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, excuse me, and be raised again the third day. This is what we're talking about. So Jesus, he heard what he said. I don't ever say anything unless I hear the Father say it. I don't ever do anything unless I see the Father do it. So he heard what the Father was saying. He saw what the Father was doing, and Jesus acted it out. So this morning, you and I have got to be on this place of Resurrection Sunday, this day of victory. We need to see that we can take what Jesus has said about us, because it come from the Father, and we can not just hear it, but we can see that Jesus done it, and then we can receive it in our own life, and we can do it. You've got to see yourself as an overcomer. You got to see yourself walking in victory. You got to see yourself possessing peace. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. We go on all through the nine of them. The last one's the one I need more than any, and that's temperance, self-control. It's available for me. It's there. So I need to see what's mine. And I need to hear about it, but I need to see that Jesus worked it to give it to me, and I need to let it have preeminence. Amen? Yes, amen. All right, go back to John. We started to go there, and we didn't. In John chapter 21, let's see how Jesus, he's timeless. He went to the tomb, but he also ascended to the throne. Now, in John 21 here, there's a lot of, see, the King James Version Bible, I like the King James Version Bible, but we've got to realize that it was written by a bunch of men who at that time still had a mindset about women that was going on even in the time of Jesus, amen? And so the attitude toward women wasn't what it should be, and so they loved to take this and twist it. Look at verse... For sake of time, let's start in verse 16. This is where Mary is trying to find Jesus. John 20 and 16. And Jesus said unto her, Mary, and she turned herself and she said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say master. Now she had been waiting there to see Jesus, because she had heard all the teachings about Jesus, and her heart was broken. And if we're not careful, we stay at the cross, and it makes some people mad when you say thank God for the cross, but we need to get past the cross and we need to see the tomb is empty. You know what I mean? We can be messed up even in the New Testament if we're not careful. And so notice what happens. Verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not. So they say, a woman shouldn't be touching Jesus and all these things. But that's not what it says. In the Greek, Jesus says to her, don't attach yourself to me. Don't hold me up. Because what? Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God. So Jesus is saying, I've got something else to do. You know, he's not saying you can't touch me. come on, he wants us to touch him. He wants to touch us. But he's saying, at this moment of time, I've got something to do. I'm revealing myself to you. I'm giving you a message. Come on, she preached the message. She went to the disciples who were assembled in the little room because of fear, and she gave the message to them. And so he's just simply saying, so I want you to see, out of the mouth of Jesus, he said, I'm fixing to ascend. So Jesus goes from timeless to he's constrained by time and constrained by this earth suit, this flesh, and he goes to the tomb, but then he ascends. See, if we can see Jesus ascended, if we can see the ascended Lord, there's no defeat. There's victory. All right, go to Luke 22:69. Out of the mouth of Jesus, look what he says, red letter, Luke 22:69. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Can Jesus lie? So he's showing what he's heard from the Father and what he saw from the Father, and he's showing it to them and getting them in the place and the position to be ready for what's fixing to happen. So he's going to go to the tomb, but that tomb can't hold him. He's going to ascend back to the throne. And see, if I can see the one who's living in my heart as sitting on the right hand of the Father, then sin doesn't dominate me. The devil doesn't dominate me. I want to walk in this, don't you? I want it to be real. Romans 8. We're almost done. I'm just trying to build a foundation of faith. Look at verse 34, I believe it is. Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Aren't you glad? Yea, rather, I love how Paul puts this, stop concentrating on the death part, but yea, rather, that is risen again. Jesus is risen again. Where's he at? Who is even at the right hand of God. Your Lord, your Savior, the one that you can feel right now, the one that you feel that warmth, you feel that hope, you feel that anticipation, that one that is giving you grace, he is risen and he's at the right hand of God. That Jesus called it, remember what we just read in Luke, the right hand of power. Isn't that something? So, in other words, with Jesus sitting on the right hand of power, the right hand of God, he's saying that all the power of my Father is in me. Who's in you? And we let the devil bully us and browbeat us and tell us what we can do or can't do, or tell us how we feel, or tell us how we should see or think or understand. Come on. So what do I need to do to be able to operate in this? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Just a couple more verses. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 2. Hebrews 12 and 2. Looking unto who? Has nothing to do with what we feel. Nothing to do with what we see in the natural, right? So I've got to hear this. I've got to see it. And I've got to put it into practice. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now let that be intimate to you. See, I don't have the faith that you have. But yet I don't need the faith that you've got. You don't have the faith that I have. You don't need the faith that I've got. You need a Jesus that has called you from the foundation of the world into his will, that has wrote in his book, and he wants to put it in your heart, in my heart, what he's called you to do. So all I've got to do is keep my eyes on him, look unto him, hear what he's saying by his Spirit, And then see what his words are wanting me to do, and he'll show me how to do that, and I see it, hear it, do it, and I won't forget it. I won't lay it down. Isn't that exciting? We're talking about those signs of Mark 16 are coming back to the church. And they're not coming in this building. They're coming outside this building, in your life and my life, when we're handing out food, when we're pumping gas, when we're paying for groceries, when we're doing whatever we're doing. We're talking about being in our world, because it's the Lord has gave it unto us. Amen? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for whom the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Come on, I've got to see that. I've got to see that. Now, one of my favorite verses in closing, go with me to Ephesians 2. Let's read it together. I know you get tired of hearing it, but we need to make sure that we have received it and we live by it. Ephesians 2:6, it says, let's read 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together. God has made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I've got to believe that because Christ is on the right hand of power, he's in that position of the throne, that I am seated with him. Remember, he's the head, we're the many-membered body. He's the head of the church. We discovered that in Colossians 1. So he's my head, he's your head. And so because he's there, I'm there. But because I'm here, Jesus is here. Oh, come on now. No, don't let that go past your head. Think about that. Let that get down in your heart. I'm in heaven because Jesus is in heaven. But Jesus is in earth because I'm in earth. See how important you are in the earth. That's why the devil wants to keep you and I in a place, a position where we don't understand our authority. We don't understand our ability. We don't understand what it means to live from a place of ascendancy. We try to live in the place of descendancy. No, Jesus come down and then he went up. So all I've got to do, Brother Ryan, put Colossians 3:1. All I've got to do is simply walk out the word of God. Colossians 3:1 says, and if Christ be risen, if you then be risen with Christ, better said, I guess, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So I've got to recognize that the devil's going to try to get my attention. He's going to try to get me to settle for something else. He's going to try to get me to seek something else. But no, you and I, we're going to seek the things that are above. Because it's your role, it's my role. It's our great responsibility, but it's our great opportunity to be able to bring what God's wanting to do in heaven to the earth. Amen? Isn't that exciting? Now, so on this Resurrection Sunday, here's what we need to do. Now, don't get mad at me, but if you are in a place where you've got overcoming sadness, you've got overcoming lust, you got overcoming anger, you got overcoming unforgiveness, you got overcoming anxiety, you got overcoming worry or fear or doubt, whatever it might be, what we need to do is repent. I'm sorry. God can't do anything until we repent, because that all of those things are sin. And so I need to repent of those things. I need to give them to Jesus. I need to see that on this resurrection day, that because him, through him, by him, I have victory. And I need to stop telling, now don't get mad at me, I need to stop telling God about all of these things, and I need to tell these things about my God. That's going to change everything. See, if God can keep us in a place where we see Jesus on that right hand. If, in other words, if I keep listening to the Lord, the Word of God, and if God can keep me in that place, and He can if I'll allow Him to, then when the devil tries to keep me in the place where I'm always asking for something, I'm always believing God for something rather than see what Jesus has done. See, if I'm always asking, believing for something, I've not received it yet. But if I see that I've received it, it's mine and I can start walking it out. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for Your goodness, Your grace, Your mercy. I thank You for every person here. I thank You for the person under the sound of my voice that's going to be listening to this in the future. I ask, Lord, that You would touch all of us and let them feel the love of God right now like never before. Let them feel liberty and freedom. And when I say feel, I mean sense it by the Spirit of God in their spirit, causing their soul to be at the place of peace. And as their soul, the Bible says that You want us to be in health and You want us to prosper even as our soul prospers. We'll never prosper and be in health unless we can get that healing message into our soul, our mind, will, and emotions renewed by the truth. Lord, let this be the day that this happens. This day of victory, this day of resurrection, let it be. Touch, draw, and speak truth right now like never before. Let us submit to You and let us walk it out. Or we ask You, believing that we receive in the name of Jesus. Would you come this morning and say, Lord, I'm going to lay some things down and I'm going to walk out of here seeing that right hand of power. I'm going to see some promises and some things that You've done for me. I'm going to hear those words. I'm going to put them into practice. This is a new day. A new day. Let it be. Would you come? Just give a moment of time to the Lord. And if we can help you in any way, we're here to help you. I'm just going to be blunt with you. You're not strong enough to make it through this year what you carried last year. Now, this is important. I don't just talk to hear myself. I'm telling you the truth. There's some things that you this morning you can get victory over, and you won't have to carry it this rest of this year, because in all honesty, you're not going to be able to carry it. The devil has agenda. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So just yield to the Spirit of God in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm.